It's good to be with you this morning, and it's always good to come home, I guess would probably be the best way to say that. But it's good to be with you this morning, and I thank you so much for your attendance and your attention over the next little bit here. This morning, I'm preaching on a lesson called In Him, Not Them. And it was a lesson that was kind of... It was born out of just a time in my life that I was kind of going through some work stuff, and they had changed a lot of things after a lot of hard work that I had done, and I was felt very just ran over, if you will. But it made me realize where I was putting my concern, my faith, my trust was not where it needed to be. So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. And Connor, thank you for the scripture reading this morning, Ben. Have you ever considered yourself a warrior? I'm not sure that I have. I don't know if I've ever put myself necessarily in that camp, but I sure realize that I am. And I was taught something a couple months back whenever I went through a review at work and was basically told all that hard work was much appreciated, but there was no proof for it. But such is life. Maybe you've considered yourself a worrier or somebody that has a little bit of anxiety as well, or puts their faith and trust in things that they shouldn't at times. Maybe you've had that time of anxiety. Maybe you've had a week of worry, or a month, or even a lifetime of worry. Do we consider what we're reminded of often in Scripture about this, that we are often reminded in Scripture about this very thing? I think the answer is rather simple, but it takes thought on our end to do what we know needs to be done. We need to seek the guidance of the Lord and put everything in Him. So, this morning, as Connor read, but I will read again, maybe. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 9, I want you to take in mind that we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned with Christ. We need to be concerned with what He has us to do rather than the things of this world and rather than the people that are of this world. So I want you to look at this lesson as we go through these scriptures and as we talk through these things. I want you to consider that and have that at the forefront of your mind. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in this world. Cast your anxieties on Him, your worry, all these things that take your mind off of what needs to be, what your focus needs to be. And cast it where it needs to be. Give it to the Lord. He cares for you. He is the one who can help." Have you ever had these times in life where you kind of have that reality check and then you go back to the thought process of where am I putting my thought? What am I doing and who am I thinking about and who am I giving all of my time mentally to? And then you put it where it needs to be. It changes your daily walk. And I want to touch on this as well. Be on the alert, because the devil will use the worry and get your focus where it does not need to be. If we're not focused on Him and not them, if we let them take over our thought process, our thinking, our emotions, whatever you want to put there, the devil has won. He has pulled you away and got you on the track that he wants you on, and not on the track that you need to be on, that you are not concerned with Jesus, with Him. And I want you to look at also in 1 Peter, that same opening in chapter 5. Keep in mind that we aren't alone. Our brothers and sisters experience the same things that we do. Do you understand that God's design for the brotherhood is this? That we have those that are family members, those that are members of a local congregation that may be a member of a congregation across the country, that we have these people to lean upon. This is just a little side note here. That is by design the way that God put that together. We have those that can help us kind of refocus our life and get our concentration and our focus back on him and not them. And in Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning of verse 28, was read in Bible class this morning. One of my favorite verses, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We need to be concerned with Jesus. We need to come to him. Is this not the most comforting thing that we can have in this life? And I understand that I'm coming at this from probably a little bit different perspective than most. But given my recent deal here. But he's saying that he knows that we have these struggles, that he knows that we're here, and that he has experienced many of these things, and he knows that he is... to how to take care of these things is what I should say. And isn't rest something that we look for every day of our lives? At the end of a work day, don't you come home looking forward to taking off your boots and relaxing and having rest? And as was mentioned in Bible class this morning, we can let these things come into our life, and we can be concerned with people and the things that are going on in our lives and not Christ, and we don't get that rest that we really need. We don't get the rest that we most definitely desire in our life. Jesus says it's very simple, says it very simply, that he has what we're looking for, and he freely gives it. And it is much more than this physical rest will ever be. It is much more than going home at the end of the day and taking off your boots and sitting on the couch. It is much more than that. So we need to be concerned with the one who gives us that rest, the one who tells us that when we are weak and heavy laden and we have these things upon us, he is going to take care of that. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Am I behind? No, I'm not. Matthew, the 6th chapter. This is a little bit of lengthier reading, so if you want to turn with me in your Bibles. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning verse 25. For this reason, he is talking about serving two gods. You cannot serve God and mammon. But for these reasons, I say to you, do not be weary about your life as for what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is it not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who are you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And last time I was here, we talked quite a bit about that 32 and 33. But simply put here is the cure for worries. Here is the cure that we are given to get these anxieties and worry. Wade. Sit down. That's the first time I've had to do that. Simply put, here's the cure for our worries. He understands and he knows that we need these things, and we want the cure for this anxiety and the things that we let kind of And I guess I should put it in this perspective, that when we let the cares of this world, and we're concerned more with them, that anxiety and that the worry and all these things seem to me to just climb, to just keep getting more and more and casting that heavy burden down, right? But when I'm not concerned with them and I'm more concerned with him, it seems like these things seem to iron themselves out. So that's my point here. The cure for worry in Matthew 6, where we worry about all the little things in this life. Dad said this morning, the 101 things that we have going on, the 1,003 things that we have going on, all these little things that just drag us away from the true focus that we need to have in life. I love the analogy here in Matthew 6. And I'll read it again, if I can find it. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. The birds don't work. They don't worry about things. They don't try and fix everything. They don't have all these different projects that they can't seem to finish. They don't worry about those things. They operate directly on instinct. They need food. They need to go to sleep. They need these basic things, right? And the Lord takes care of them. And then how does he end in verse... How does Jesus end in verse 26? Are you not worth much more than they? You are a child of mine. I am going to take care of you. If I take care of the birds, you are much more important than this. I make sure they're taken care of. I'm going to make sure that you are taken care of if your focus is where it needs to be, in him and not them. So we don't need to worry about things. And if we go in that same opening, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We know that there is trouble in each day. There is something that is going to be in the way and to beset us each day. Don't worry about it. Just take it on. Keep your focus correctly where it needs to be, in Jesus Christ, and don't let these things drag you away from him. And don't let it get in the way. And I simply ask, is this a struggle for you? Is this something that you do like I do, and you're constantly concerned with what every minute little thing? You can't control tomorrow. You can most definitely plan for it, but are you going to let that ruin your day? Are you going to let that drag you away from what you need to be focused upon? So we need to be concerned with him and not them. And in Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning of verse 23, and I'm going to have to go here because that is way too small. Matthew 8, beginning of verse 23 through 27 says, when he got into the boat, that is Jesus, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And I should have said this first. Our faith needs to be in him and not them. And I'm going to point out who Jesus Christ is for you. So we will go back to Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning of verse 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of a little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And very quickly, in Mark, the 4th chapter, we'll read that same thing. I just want to point out verse 39. Mark 4, verse 39, he says, and he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea and said, peace, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Jesus is asking, where is your faith? He says, "You men of little faith, why are you scared? Have faith that I'll see you through this." But our faith needs to be in the one that calmed the sea. Our faith needs to be in the one that said, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeyed. Do we understand that that is who Jesus is and where our faith needs to be? This is the power of Christ, and it needs to be in the one that came and died for our sins. And it was pointed out this morning that he died for the sins of this world. He came to this earth and lived a perfect life and was sacrificed for every single person upon this earth and changed the course of humanity. Do we think about that when we let things get in the way of our service to the Lord, that this is Jesus the Christ? This is God the Father who sent his Son and changed the course, not just for those in this building, but for every human that walks upon this earth. He changed the course and gave everybody the ability to attain eternity in heaven. This is where our faith needs to be. We get caught up in the things of life, and I've said this 100 times, and I will continue to say it because it's so relevant, that we let things get in the way, but we forget to put our everything in Jesus Christ. We forget that he is the one that calmed the sea. He is the one that changed humanity. And we need to let him see us through the trials and tribulations that this life brings. We need to have our faith in him and not them. And it's hard. Why? Because we're human and we want to control everything. I want to have the steering wheel. I'm the one that's driving. I'm the one that's making the decisions. This is me. This is what I want to do. But do we understand, and we're going to end this lesson and with a very relevant verse on that exact topic, but do we realize that when we do that and we don't give the control to God and let him control our lives and we follow his word and understand the way that we need to live, we end up in a ditch. We end up somewhere where we have no business being. And a quick side note. In James, the first chapter, beginning of verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." We also need to remember that the trials and tribulations of life have a purpose. Our faith needs to be in him, but understand that we can learn from these things as well. Especially if our faith and our concern is in the proper place. Matthew, the 21st chapter, in verses 18 through 22. I apologize for taking time to flip scripture here. I guess I shouldn't apologize for that. Matthew 21, beginning of verse 18. Says, "Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry." This is Jesus. "Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'No longer shall you ever bear any fruit. Now no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you.' And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, 'How did the fig tree wither all at once?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you that if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even If you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Again, I want to just point out here that the power of Jesus, he was hungry, so he walked over to a fig tree and there was nothing there and it died. There's no more fruit going to be bore from you and you're done. But I want to look at that the very last verse there quickly. Do we have faith and not doubt? And are we asking for these things? Are we diligent in our prayer life? And I feel like this is, my wife can probably attest to this, this has creeped into my past two or three lessons because that's something that's very much on my mind is prayer. Because I don't feel like I pray enough. But are we praying? Are we talking to God? Are we having the reverence when we're doing that as well? Are we truly formulating some thoughts and taking it to God and showing him that our faith is in him and not them, and that we are focused on what he has us do and not what the world has drug us away from him to do? So are we asking him? Are we having that faith in him, and are we leaning on God and talking to him and glorifying him in prayer? Are we setting aside the time to pray? Do we ever consider, and I try not to get too much off on a tangent here, do we ever consider where we would be without prayer? What a terrible place, right? We have an avenue to talk to him. We need to use that. And it will draw us closer and bring our focus on him and away from the things that take us away from him. And if we have that faith, we sure will. If we are demonstrating and we know that our faith is in Jesus Christ, we sure will be praying. And I want to make this quick note. If we're concerned, if we have our faith in something other than Jesus, we're putting it in men. And brethren, I'm here to tell you, you will be sorely disappointed throughout your entire life if that is where you have put your faith. Keep that in mind. And in Matthew, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit here. Our faith is in Jesus. And in verse 2, Matthew writes, and they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. And in verse 22, but Jesus turned and seeing her said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well, the woman that had been hemorrhaging. Did I skip one? No, I didn't. And in verses 27 through 29, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about this. Our faith is in Jesus, the one that saw their faith and they were healed. That it says in verse 22, your faith has made you well. And in verses 22 through 29, according to their faith, their sight was restored. This is the Savior, the Messiah that healed the blind, that healed the lame. This is him. Let's not forget that. And realize that if we're putting our faith in anything else and looking for fulfillment in anything else, I will say it again, you will be sorely disappointed. And people will always let you down. I have let people down more than I care to know in this life. But our faith, our concentration, and our life needs to be solely in Jesus Christ. And we need to be concerned. We need to have faith in him and not them. And I let my inner 5-year-old get me, and I ask, why? Why? Why in him and not them? Well, Jeremiah, the 10th chapter in verse 23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. It is simply not in me to do righteous things, to live a proper life left to my own devices. It is not in man to guide their own steps. We just stumble and fall and trip and are constantly, you know, brought back to our feet by Christ. But yet, it's not in us to do these things. So why should I have my faith and concentration and all of these things in Christ? Because I can't do it by myself. I need that guidance. I need him to guide my steps and show me where to walk, because it is not in me to do that on my own. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, in verse 6, it says, train up your children in the way train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Of course, this is, you know, the start him young deal. But I want to hit this point. It does say that, why are we training them up in the way that they should go? Even when he's old, that he will not depart from it. Well, then that tells me that there is a definite chance that we could depart from it. So this is to start him young, but it says that there may be a possibility of departing from the way that we should go. It says that this is why we should do these things, and we should be trained up, and we should train our children, and we should look to the Lord for the guidance that we need, because we can easily depart and walk down the broad and easy path of life and not stay on that hard, straight, and narrow. That I don't know about you, but my seem to can't keep this right boot off of the doggone wrong side of that. Understand this, that Jesus is that way. Jesus is the way to keep us on those paths, to keep us from departing from the things that we know aren't right. And in John, the 16th chapter, in verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Guidance is my point here. Guidance is needed. He is, of course, talking to the apostles here. I don't want us to get that off topic. But don't we have the Spirit now that guides us through the Word of God? We have this written Word that has been given to us to be able to guide our steps. Are we putting our faith, concern, trust in him and looking to the roadmap that we have to be able to not fall off course? We need to take this to heart, because, again, it is not in a man to do what is right in Jeremiah 10. And something that I guarantee my brother could easily quote for me right now, and I probably will let him do that. Jordan, if you want a recipe for disaster, do what comes naturally. This was something that was said to me from the time I was probably 10. But let me tell you how true it is, brethren. It gets a laugh out of you, but I want you to truly think about what that means. Understand that if we are left to our own devices, and this physical man is going to pursue the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it is not the way that we need to be. If you want a recipe for disaster, do it yourself. And it's going to go up in flames way quicker than you ever thought it could. We need to be concerned with him and not them. We need to have our faith in him and not them. And why we should is because we can't do it on our own. That's why. He's going to guide us. That's why we have him as the guide, and not me, and not my boss, and not whomever, right? The Lord is our guide. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, a very familiar verse to you, I'm sure, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Well, we have to be looking to that for our guidance. But he has given us everything that we need in the Bible to be complete and ready for anything. He has given us a guide. Do we understand that? If we will simply trust in him and not let the things of this world and the people of this world drag us in an opposite direction, we are going to have a wonderful life. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be speed bumps and all these different things that we're going to have to deal with. I'm not saying that that's going to be alleviated, but I am saying that if we will let him guide us, it will be a different experience. He gives us this guide in 2 Timothy to get us through anything and have us ready for anything, including the craziness that seems to be hurled at us every single day of our lives. And you can think about whatever you want, right? You can think about any kind of something that's happened in your life that just seems not fair or just seems the how me. God has given us a guide, and he is there for us to guide us through every aspect of this life and everything that it has to throw our way. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in him, and he will see you through. He will keep you on a straight and correct path. You ever have somebody give you directions, right? There's some people in this world that have zero sense of direction. Nice to meet you, I'm Blake French. And the worst part is I go hunting. That's not good. Anyway, but understand that this, that it says it will make your paths straight. When you ask someone for directions and they tell you, well, you know, you go out here and you turn left on Pleasant Valley and then you turn right here and you turn over there, and are you lost? I'm lost at turn number 3. Lost. This is very interesting to me that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and he will make your paths straight. The way I took that is, how easy is it? How do I get there? Just take this road down to the end. It's on your left-hand side. You can't miss it. He's going to make that. It's not going to be simple, but it's there, right? And keep us, more importantly, keep us on that straight and correct path. So, I think we can sum this lesson up in Matthew, the 15th chapter, in verse 14. It says, let them alone. They're blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Where is your faith? Where are you looking for guidance, your trust? Really, our everything needs to be in Jesus Christ so that we can make our way through this crazy thing we call life. If we want to be right and to enjoy the things that we know we have, brethren, it's in him and not them. The lesson is yours. I hope that it was as beneficial and it was easy to understand. But we never want to close, ever close, without offering an invitation. That invitation is that if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, that's what we're here to do. This is our commandment, that we are here to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he came, lived a perfect life, that he died, was buried, and rose again on the 3rd day. And that through that, again, he changed the course of the world. That meaning that we have the opportunity to go to heaven when this life on earth is over. And it gives us something to look forward to. If you don't know who Jesus is or how the Bible has laid out the way that we need to take advantage of that and be able to look forward to a home in heaven, we want to have a conversation with you. A simple, quick talk. And that doesn't have to be right now. That can be later today, that you can make a phone call or you can pull somebody aside after the services are over, whatever makes you the most comfortable. We just want you to ask those questions if you have them, because, brethren, we want you to go to heaven. So, if you're subject to that invitation and we can help you in any way at all, we would invite you to come and stand and sing. Charlie.